Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We are in the season of Easter. And each year, this week after Easter Sunday, we hear this story of Thomas, the disciple who had the misfortune not to be in the room when Jesus appeared and revealed himself to the disciples. So often we refer to this as Doubting Thomas Sunday. For those of you who know me well, you know that this is my favorite Sunday of the year. Are you aware of this? Maybe some of you will remember that I chose this Sunday as my first Sunday to come serve among you. So this means you've been stuck with me for 4 entire years now. 4, liturgically anyway. I don't remember the date exactly. I'm not sure. I'll have to look. I think we're a couple days shy of actual 4 years. But Doubting Thomas Sunday, except it's not really a doubting Thomas. I get kind of stuck on this, actually. Those of you who know my family well know that one of my children has the middle name Thomas. Yes. So Thomas is indeed Pastor Cassie's favorite disciple, because I get Thomas. Let's think about this for a minute. Thomas gets a really bad rap, right? Like he gets completely shortchanged in this. For a moment, let me just paint a picture. All the disciples are gathered in this upper room together. What are they doing? Does anybody know? They're hiding. Who are they hiding from? The authorities, the Jewish authorities who are trying to hunt them down. So if Thomas isn't there, what do you think Thomas is doing? I think he's being brave. He's out there. At one point, some pastors and I joked, he's probably out getting pizza for the group, right? They have to eat. Maybe he's doing a grocery run. He's over at the Aldi and then probably wearing a cloak over and some, you know, sunglasses or something, trying to stay incognito so that the authorities don't find him. Thomas is out living life, or perhaps Thomas is out doing the Lord's work, right? Caring for the others that need to be cared for. Well, the disciples hide away. And yet here we blame Thomas. Not all of us. I'm not blaming any of you. But I think for years we have thought of this as Doubting Thomas Sunday because we misunderstand
This year, staying with the theme that I introduced on Easter, I propose we refer to this Sunday as Curious Thomas Sunday. How's that? The women last week arrived at the empty tomb, curious to see how in the world did Jesus pull this whole thing off, right? Did Jesus really rise? He'd been telling them for a very long time that he was going to do so. So the women show up at the tomb, and right away we say they were going to grieve or mourn or be sad. But there's no evidence of that in the scripture. That's something we put on them. What if they were arriving with curiosity? And what if Thomas is doing the same? Thomas is being curious. He's saying to the other disciples, until I see Jesus here and I can touch him for myself, I am not going to believe. I have to say that those women running out in great joy, and this week Thomas saying what he says, I think Thomas is speaking the truth. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Did Thomas listen to the Lord earlier? And did Thomas actually have more belief than his fellow disciples? It occurred to me as I was preparing for this week that I was reminded of an earlier gospel from this Gospel of John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? If that sounds familiar, it's because that it is preached at so many funeral services. I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you. Jesus reminds us, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And I think this scripture, when I read it alongside today's gospel text, something stood out to me, that Thomas misunderstands Jesus in that text as well. Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? But rewind through the text and you'll see that Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. What amazingly good news. Jesus comes back for us. We don't have to know the way to where Jesus is, where we are going. How can we know the way you are going? I have to wonder if Thomas's inability to understand what Jesus was talking about then led him to miss the part where Jesus says, I'll come back and take you with me so that you too may be where I am. Thomas is so wrapped up in saying, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? I hear anxiety in that. That Thomas very well may have missed that Jesus would show him the way by coming back to him. Much like the women mentioned last week, Thomas had to have heard Jesus say time and time again what was going to happen, that he would rise again, that he would go to be with the Father. I wonder if Thomas's reaction was out of the certainty that Jesus had risen again, much like the women from last week. He was certain that Jesus had gone to be with the Father. This reminds me of a time in Sunday school, a long, long time ago, when I was a child. I must have been in third or fourth grade, and you might imagine that a child who's going to grow up to be a pastor might be full of questions for a Sunday school teacher, yes? Yes, and you would be right. However, at age 8 or 9, however old I was more interested in getting the answer right and making my teacher proud, right? Being a good, obedient student, behaving the way a church kid, a good church kid should. And so I'd often wait for another student to raise a good question that I had been thinking in my head, and then I'd nod my head enthusiastically to encourage the teacher to answer the question well. I remember another student asking, why were the disciples so surprised? I mean, hadn't Jesus been telling them what was going to happen for the whole story? We've been hearing about this since preschool. How did they not understand? Why didn't they just believe? Out of the mouths of babes. And I have to point out that that other student also became a pastor. Ah, funny. You see, we do need the faith of a child. When we hear these stories throughout our lives, from the time we're babies until we're grown, what's interesting that is over time, when we become adults, we spend so much of our time trying to explain why something is a certain way, when earlier in life, we just accept it. Jesus told us he was coming back. Why don't we get it? Well, you know, when you're 9 years old, if all has gone well, you've heard the story in three cycles already, because it's a three-year cycle, so 3, 6, 9. So by the time we had reached that point in our Sunday school education, if we had been going since preschool to Sunday school, and if our parents had read us the Bible stories at home, we would have heard those stories at least three times. Or this Thomas text, it occurs every single year. And so we would have heard it 8 or 9 times by then. Interesting. Those disciples didn't get to hear it as much. They had once, right? They had when Jesus told them in flesh and blood what was happening. I want you to think for a moment about your own life and how well you pay attention to those you love, even those you really respect. Do you sometimes get a little glossed over when someone you love is talking to you? When you hear about something that's going to happen and they're explaining something in the future, for some of us, we really pay attention, listen intently. But most of the time, I think in the daily ins and outs of our lives, we might tune out a little bit to some of the details until we're in the moment and then we're like, wait a minute, what were we supposed to do? I don't remember. Has anyone had a moment like that? Or it's just me? It's okay if it's just me. Okay, thank you, Leslie, Gretchen, for not making me feel alone. But sometimes, you know, my children tell me about like a field trip they're going on. I'm like, yeah. And then the day of, I'm like, wait a minute, are you supposed to be bringing a lunch? Do you have to be there by 9:20 a.m., right? Do you need to bring a swimsuit? I can't remember. A towel too? Change of clothes? What are we looking at here, right? Sometimes the details are lost on us. And now imagine the disciples after what they've gone through. They are scared. Whether they're up in that upper room where they're safe, or whether, like Thomas, they're out trying to gather resources, supplies for the bigger group. They're overwhelmed. Are we surprised at all that they might have faltered in their faith, or that Thomas might be curious or need more proof? We don't fault the other disciples who, when they first hear of the empty tomb, don't quite believe the women. That didn't come up in this year's text, but in other years it does, that they doubt. But we don't call them the doubting disciples, only Thomas. When doubt creeps in, it's best to accept it for what it is, a tool. It helps us critically think. It signals to us that we need to dig deeper. And it turns out that in most things, it's not important for us to completely understand. After all, when I light a candle, I don't think about all of the details of how and why that works. Or when I turn on a light switch, I don't think of all of the electricity that's needed, or the electrical systems and the wider world that are needed. None of that is necessary, is it? Do you all think of these things every time you do those little functions? Or when you turn the water faucet on, are you thinking about the plumbing and all of the hands that worked at the infrastructure to ensure that we get clean water to drink, to wash, to bathe? Turns out that it's not most important for us to completely understand the ins and outs of how all of this works. But it is important for us to serve as Jesus did, to care for one another and to care for ourselves, to not get caught up in the details of belief or doubt. But much like third grade Cassie in Sunday school class, we need to worry less about being right and more about learning what God is trying to teach us and where God is trying to lead us. Instead of crying out, "Lord, we do not know the way to where you are going, how can we know?" We are to trust that Jesus will come back for us and all will be right in the world. Not in some far-off future or some far-off heaven or afterlife, but today. Jesus is indeed with us, for he breathed the Holy Spirit on those first disciples and on us as well. Listen to that voice that draws you to compassion, to mercy, and to kindness. That is the Holy Spirit at work in our midst. Today, I hope we can embrace our inner curious Thomas and turn away from the voice that tells us to doubt, to shame, or to blame. May we have compassion for ourselves and for others every day. For Jesus is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.